Perapu Perikopes, Masa Gechizayom. So Masa is the prophecy. Prophecy, Masa usually is a reference to a prophecy of Churban, and here we're referring to a vision of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. This theme obviously appears many times in Yeshaya, and here we have it again, where he envisions, he sees the time about 110 years from the time that he was speaking, approximately, to witness the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. Masa gave the valley of Chizayon. So we have here another term for Yerushalayim. We have so many terms to refer to Yerushalayim. We have Yerushalayim, of course, Tzion. We had yesterday, 2 days ago, the E. It was called an island. And here it's called a valley. The valley of vision. Yerushalayim, the Mikdash or Yerushalayim appears to have been positioned between two valleys. I'm not sure how this works out in modern geographical maps, but that's how the Mefarshim learned that it's a valley in between two mountains. Let's look at the Mesudas Stav of Pasuk Aleph. Ze Yerushalayim, Shehaisa Mekoyim HaNevuah, Chizayon, vision. The reason why it says the valley of vision is because all the prophecy, there were many prophets that lived in Yerushalayim, and the source of prophecy was derived from the Kedusha that was found in Yerushalayim. Ze Yerushalayim, Shehaisam Mekoyim HaNevuah, Ve'im Ki Amda Behar, since it was on a mountain, Kara Gei, Lechanoisa Lira'ah, V'loimah Sheshpilum Ho'ivim Bechatoseha, Umehor Nase Gei. So the Mitzvah is a different interpretation, that the Gei is something that is low, a valley, it's deep. Gei Tzlamav, it's the valley of death. So this valley is something which is low. Yerushalayim is not low. Yerushalayim is a mountain. It's on har. So here, being that we are discussing the churban of Yerushalayim, the downfall, it's mentioned derech ginai, in a derogatory form, to intimate that this that used to be a high mountain now has been humbled and lowered into nothing more than a low valley. Okay, so the pasuk goes on to say, "Mas the vision of Gei the Chizayon, Gei Yerushalayim is referred to by this term. Malach Eifo, Hashem is saying, the Navi is saying to the Kohanim, what are you doing? Eifo means now. The word Eifo always means now. Ki Aliso Chulach LeGagos, why have you ascended to the roof of the Beis Hamikdash? Now the Medrash explains this refers to the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. In the time, the Kohanim, there were many tzaddikim, there were many Kohanim were tzaddikim, and they were the custodians of the Beis HaMikdash. When they saw that the Churban was about to occur, when they were overwhelmed by the enemy, by Nebuchadnezzar and the people of Babel who were about to destroy, they went to the top, to the roof, and they took the keys to the Beis HaMikdash, and they said to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, we are your custodians, we are the Kohanim, we serve. And obviously, we have not been good custodians because you are allowing the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. We hereby return to you the keys. They took the keys to the Mikdash, they threw it into heaven, and the Gemara in the Sechta Tainis says that what appeared to be the dumus of a yad, of a hand, came out of heaven and accepted the keys. The Kohanim then proceeded to take their own lives by jumping off the roof into the fire. That's why it's called, this is what Yeshaya is referring to, Malachayfo, what has happened? It's an expression of Tsar. Malachayfo, how could this happen now that you have now come to a state where ki oliso chulach legagos, you have all ascended to the roof, and you have now given over the keys to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, admitting your defeat and acknowledging that the churban is about to happen. There's a very nice drush on this pasuk in connection with this gemara which I mentioned. We say in davening on the shalosh regalim, we go on to mention and we cannot bring the korbanos mibnei hayod shenishtalcha b'mikdashach. So simply that means because of the hand of the enemy. The reason why we cannot serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the base hamidosh is because the enemy, the Romans, second bias, the Bayis Rishon, Nebuchadnezzar, Babel, has conquered. They have extended their foreign hand and have control over the Beis HaMikdash. They have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. That is the Pshuta Shel Mikra. That is the similar thing of the Nusach HaTfilah. However, based upon the Gemara Masechet Tainis and this pasuk here in Yeshaya, Perek Chaf Beis, The reason why we don't have a Mikdash is because the custodians have returned the keys, have thrown the keys to heaven, and the demus of the Yad Hashem has come down out of heaven and has retrieved the keys to the Beis HaMikdash. So instead of interpreting this expression that the Yad is a reference to the Yad of the enemy, it refers to the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yad Hashem that has extended down from heaven to accept the keys from the custodians who are here in this pasuk standing on the roof and throwing the keys to heaven. We no longer have a Mikdash.
I understand the Midrashic interpretation of that. But, there's clearly a pshat to that, because lishloach yod is an expression that means to harm.
Correct.
Lishloach yod ma'melach achashverosh.
Absolutely. You can't deny the pshat. Pshat is always the ikar.
Normally, I would take the midrash side of things, but clearly,
of course.
Talking about a phrase in davening, I mean.
Of course. The pshat is always the ikar. That goes without saying. But it fits. It also happens to fit. And there is something to it. I am Panam Latara. There is always many layers of meaning to all different expressions in the Neviim and in Nusach HaTfilah. Okay, now, by the way, besides the Medrash, which I've told you, the Pshutu Shel Mikra refers to the Kohanim ascending to the roof of the Beis HaMikdash and committing suicide and throwing the keys to the heaven. It refers to the people of Yerushalayim themselves, where they went to the roofs of their own homes to see the enemy. When you want to see what's going on outside, the Yerushalayim is on a hill, it's on a mountain, the enemy, the Babylonians are ascending, they're making their assault on Yerushalayim. You want to see where you're holding, what are the chances of survival, where should we flee, where is there a good... So it means simply the people, the citizens of Yerushalayim, they have... Ki alis kulach, all of you, every single citizen has gone to the roof to see where is the enemy coming from and what would be the best route to escape. Okay, pasuk beis. Tishuos meleya. Tishuos means noise. Meleya means full. Yerushalayim, once upon a time, was a city that was full of noise. There was activity, there was commotion. There were people living, and there was hustle and bustle all about the city. Ir homia, another expression which means the same thing. It's a city of tumult. It's a city of activity. Kirya Aliza, a third expression. It was a happy city. Aliza means happy. It was a city that was full of happiness. But now, again, these are three expressions. Tishuos Malaya, Ir Homiya, Kirya Aliza. But now it has been transformed into a city of mourning. And Chalolayich Loi Chalolei Cheref, the citizens have died. And they have not died through being pierced, being killed by the sword. Velo misei milchama, and they have not died to war. There are two ways. When there's a war, generally people are killed one of two ways. Either they are killed in battle. If they're killed in battle, that's called the misei milchama. And there are people that are killed by the conquerors. If the people that are remain in the city who are not able to fight, they remain holed up in their homes, in their bunkers, and when the enemy penetrates and comes in, they wipe out, they kill the people living in the city. Those are called the Chalalei Cheref. Those, the victims.
Way.
What?
And the third way also.
The third way is, what's the third way?
Starvation.
Exactly. So that's what the Pasuk here says. The Pasuk says that if the people would have died in battle, you'd be heroes. If you would have gone to battle and you die, you're a hero. You get a purple star. If you remain home, okay, so then you're a victim of war. You have been killed by the enemy. There will be someone to come and to avenge your blood. But unfortunately, the korban, the most of the people died not from war, not from being killed by the enemy in their homes. They starved to death, and that is a much more painful type of death. And it's also less dignified, just to die. And you can't go and say, this one did it, or you died for a cause. They were died because there was a siege. The siege went on for a very long period of time, and they were starved to death. And that was a very, very painful form of death. All of your leaders, Kitznech means leaders, they nodu, they fled together. This refers to Tzidkio. The Talmud of Beis Hamikdash, Tzidkio had a tunnel which went underground from Yerushalayim to Yericho. And when Chizkio saw that his capture was imminent, he went into the emergency tunnel with his soldiers, and he would have escaped al derech hateva. It was ashkach haprotis. The Kodesh Baruch Hu caused that a deer should be. Soldiers from the army of Nebuchadnezzar were hungry, and they were trying to trap a deer, and the deer happened to enter the entrance of the, or go right in the vicinity of the exit of the tunnel in Yericho. And right as they were shooting at the deer, suddenly the king Tzidkiyahu and his entourage came out of the tunnel. And right away the soldiers were surprised. How could this be? This is Tzidkiyahu. And then they realized it was a tunnel, it was an escape route, and they captured Tzidkiyahu. And that's what this pasuk refers to. Kol Kitzinach, all of your leaders. And this also this is unfortunate that generally in war the leaders don't flee. The simple people flee. The leaders stay behind and die with the people. Unfortunately, the situation was such that the leaders, the Giborim, they fled because they were demoralized. Kol Kitzinayich Nodudu Yachad, all of your leaders, the people who should have led the way in battle, they fled together. Mikeshes Usaru. They were imprisoned because of the Keshes. Referring, Keshes here alludes to the archers who were trying to capture deer. Kol nim tsa'ayich, all of those that were found, the pasuk repeats itself, all the people that were found, usuru yachav, were tied up, were imprisoned together, merachok barachu, they fled to the distance. They tried to flee far, far away, but to no avail. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it about that even though they fled far away, they went to this tunnel and they came out in a different city in Yericho. Nevertheless, they were captured, although they tried to flee to a great distance. There's a Yalkut Shmoni that's something very interesting. Keshes Usaru. He says, simply, again, which repeated the pasuk means that they were held up. Don't move or I'll shoot. All right, they came out of the tunnel, and the soldiers of the Nebuchadnezzar had in their hands bow and arrow. They were really trying to aim for the deer because they were hungry. And suddenly they saw the king, they saw Tzidkiyahu. And they held their bow and arrow and they said, don't move or we'll shoot the arrow and we'll kill you. And that's how they were captured. But the Yalkut Shmoni says that the Tzidkiyahu and his soldiers had weapons. They were carrying on their shoulders bow and arrows. So when they were captured, how did they tie them up? They took their bow and they cut off the string, and with the string of their own bow, they tied their hands. They were shackled. So that's very demoralizing when you're tied up with your own weapons. And that's what it means of the Mikeshes. From their very own bow, Usaru, they were tied, their hands were tied together, so they should not be able to move after they were captured. Pasuk Dalet, Al Kain Diafur, Amarti, I said. Over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, according to Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a very powerful pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mourning the korban of Yerushalayim. Okay, therefore, Marty, Hashem says, I said, Shu'u mini, separate, move away from me. Hashem is telling the Malachim, the Pamal Yishomayla, do not come, according to the Medrash, I'm going to tell you the Midrash first, that there were three times in the history of the world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Malachim not to sing Shira. One was at the time of the Mabul. The Mabul was the first time. The second time was Kriyas Yamsuf, Maasi Yodai Tov Bayam Ve'atem Oimim Shira. And the third time was at the Churban Bayis Rishon. Those three periods of time there was no Shira. And here we learn each one is a pasuk. There's a reference in three different pesukim. I don't know the pesukim for the shira. V'leikarav zel zeh called halayla. That is the pasuk that's said in reference to the kriyas yamsuf. The malachim did not sing shira. The malachim did not come close one to another in the entire evening. And the pasuk of the mabul I do not know. But here is the pasuk for the third event when the malachim did not sing shira. The tamchum bayis rishon al kein amarti Hashem. Therefore, amarti Hashem said shu'u mini. Separate from me. Shu means to move away. Distance yourself from me. Do not sing Shira, Amorer Babechi, Kaviyachla Kadosh Baruch Hu is crying. I will cry with bitterness. Amorer is bitterness with crying. Al Toitsu Lenachameni. Do not rush. Toitsu means to rush, to act in haste. Do not try to come to hasten my comfort. There has to be a mourning period before a person is receptive for nechama. Do not hasten the comfort period. Al toitsu lenachameni. Do not quickly attempt to comfort me. Al shod over the destruction. Basami, the daughter of my nation, an expression of reference to Klal Yisrael. So Hashem is telling the Malachim he's mourning over the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Others, I assume, learned that this pasuk does not refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it refers to Yeshaya. Yeshaya is speaking, and when Yeshaya sees the Ruach HaKadosh is going to be a Churban, he says, don't try to comfort me, there is no way I can receive comfort at this time. Pasuk Hey, Ki Yom Humo Umevusa Umevucha LaHashem Elokei Tzevakos Begei Chizion. Three expressions. The day of the Churban by Yisrishun is described in this pasuk as if confusion. Mehuma is movement of according to the Mitzvahs, it means Shivaron, it means destruction. Destruction, the day of destruction. Umivusa, trampling. Umivucha is confusion. Okay, three different expressions. Umivucha, according to the Mitzvahs, inyan bilbul, confusion. Three expressions of Korban is how the pasuk here describes the Bayis Rishon, Mehuma, Mevusa, and Mevucha, LaHashem, Elokim, Tzvakos, Begei Chi Zayon, in the Valley of Vision, referring to Yushlayim, Mekarkar Kir. This is an unusual expression. Kir means a wall. So this word, these two letters, Kir, appear three times. And when it's taken together, it means the crumbling of the wall, when the wall collapses. Mitzudos explains, Mikarakir Kir Ho'oyev Yaharos will throw down, demolish, Kiros Hachomos, the walls. Mikarakir Mloshim Kir V'Koysel. In this context, when it takes it together, it means that the walls will be destroyed. V'Shoah El Hohar. Shoah means crying out. There are many interpretations, a lot of them are they have different interpretations, but according to the simple interpretation of the Mitzudos, it means this refers to the enemy. Shoah means the enemy will cry out and shout and give signals, El Hahar, let us now ascend the mountain, Yerushalayim, and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So on this day, the day of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, it's a day of three expressions, Mehuma, Mevusa, Mevucha, and it is a day where the wall will collapse. We know, according to the Medrash, the wall miraculously sunk over a period of time in order to allow the enemy to enter, and the enemy was heard shouting, El Hahar, let us ascend the mountain and conquer the nation. Pasuk Vav, Ve'elam, Nasa Ashba. The battle of Yerushalayim that was headed by Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, and his army, he was not alone. As in many other battles during this period of time, when there was a mighty nation, they enlisted, they recruited the best that the world had to offer. And other nations participated in this battle. They were mercenaries. They were hired to provide their... They were recruited to... Their skills were used. So here we have the nation of Elam. Elam at this point was a nothing nation. Elam first came to power 70 years later, well, shortly after, a number of years after the Chumash Bayis Rishon, as we learned the last Parakim, where Paras Umadai rose to power, and they conquered Babel. But in the meantime, Elam was a very simple nation, but they specialized in archery. They were the best archers, bows and arrows, and they were enlisted and assisted Babel in conquering Yerushalayim. So Nasa, they carried Ashba. Ashba means a quiver. Quivers full of arrows, ammunition. Berechev Adam Parashim. They also provided chariots. Chariots of men and horsemen. different types of soldiers. You have soldiers that fight on the horse, those are the parashim, and you have chariots. In the chariots, there are soldiers in the chariots that are waiting to be deposited, to be dropped off, and to fight. So, Berech of Adam Parashim, the Kir. Kir is the name of a city. Kir is the name of a city, name of a country, name of a country. It's the name of a country. A raw, exposed, Morgane, the shield. In ancient times, it was a. They would fight with their shields. You ever see? I once saw a documentary how they actually showed this, how the shields would interlock with one another. They would line up soldiers in formation, mm-hmm. and they had these very heavy shields. The shields must have weighed 100 pounds, made from bronze, different types of material, and they would. It's an art of how they would battle with their shields. They would bang. They would make a lot of noise. There was a technique in terrifying their victim by clashing their shields one into the other. Their shields would interlock. They would fashion a way where they would lock into one another, and they would walk. They would attack, moving forward. And then they would have different sophisticated moves in how they would conquer the enemy. Mm-hmm. So they would shield. We typically understand that a shield is a defensive device. You have a shield. When the arrow comes, what's still called in the Eretz Yisrael today? The
arrow missile defense
system. Missile defense system. Dome. What?
Iron dome.
Iron dome. So dome. It's a defense, right? You want to just put. It's not an offensive type of a weapon. But that's not the way it was in ancient times. In ancient times, the mogane, the shield, was a weapon that was used offensively, not just to deflect the arrow. That also. But that's here what it alludes to, the Kir, the country Kir, they specialized in fighting with shields. You have to see, there are documentaries, they show how it was done in ancient times. Yeah.
When riot police...
Yeah.
Put their shields together and they advance.
Right. But that's primitive compared to the sophisticated techniques that were practiced in ancient times. Again, these shields, they have in some of these museums. I even wonder, like, these shields, they took a lot of pride and they painted the shields. They were designed. We have even in Shlomo HaMelech, we have a little later on, the Yar HaLevanon, he had gold shields. But it wasn't just a shield, it was a weapon that was used to attack. And that's what it means over here. Kir, the country Kir Ela, would expose the Morgane and assist the Babylonians in conquering Yerushalayim. Pasuk Zayin. Vayi Mivchar Amokayich Molu Rechef. The choice valleys of Eretz Yisrael, the beautiful valleys, all of a sudden were filled with chariots, Vehaparashim, and the horsemen, Shosu Hashora, set their eyes on the gates of Yerushalayim. What used to be beautiful valleys that were utilized for produce and for other good things, now has been taken over by the enemy, the Babylonians, and they filled up the valleys with their horsemen, their chariots, and they set their eyes on the gates of Yerushalayim to attack. Unfortunately, most of the women, there's no fear. Normally, when an army is about to attack, they hide out in the forest. They take shelter. They're afraid to expose themselves in an open valley. Here, there were so many soldiers. There was the army of the Nebuchadnezzar was so massive, and the defense forces of Eretz Yisrael were so weak, were so minor. There was no fear for the Babylonians to expose themselves in the open valleys. So it's also, it relates, gives over part of the sense of desperation and the demoralization of the Jewish people that their enemy has no fear to expose themselves as they did. Pasuk Ches, Vayigal Es Mosach Yehuda. The shelter of Yehuda was revealed. Vatabet Bayomahu El Neshek Beis Hayar. And on that day, when they realized that their end was near, they hoped that as a last resort, they will be saved by the weapons. Neshek means a weapon in the Beis Hayar. And the Beis Hayar was the Yar HaLevon. And Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, he also built this structure called the Yar HaLevon. That was like his residence. I don't know if it was his primary residence, but it was a place where he would spend time. It was his personal residence. And in the Yar HaLevonim says in Sefer Melachim, Shlomo HaMelech deposited the best weapons, the most powerful weapons that he had were put there in this place called the Yar HaLevonim. So now, in this day of desperation, the only hope left was to retrieve these weapons, these massive, mighty shields. That's what was there, and the Jewish people, they felt that this will be their last hope. And this part really leads into the next psukim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was criticizing the Klal Yisrael, that on this day, when you see that your end is near, you should have faith in Hashem. As a last resort, you should at least recognize you have sin, Chatosi, Avisi, Pashati, and you should do tshuva, and have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead, what do? You continue to sin. Now you are under threat. So what do? Instead of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh, we have weapons. We have some more weapons in the basement. We'll bring them out. And that's what's going to save us. So this is a very powerful form of criticism, which the next psukim emphasizes in much more detail. But that's what it says over here. Vayigalu was exposed to its Mosach Yudah. And why does the Pasuk say the Mosach Yudah? Now the Mepharshim explained that the Jewish people, they really believed the Beis HaMikdash would protect them. Although they were terrible sinners, there was Avodah Zarah, there was all the things Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raya, Shvichas Tzav, and they felt, listen, as long as the Beis HaMikdash is with us, and the Shechina is resting in the Beis HaMikdash, it does not matter how evil we are, it will be protected. It is our shelter. On this day, they came to realize that their shelter, their mosach, their nesach, has been uncovered. It's not going to save them. The Shechina is going to leave. Hashem will allow the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. They got that sense, Vayigal, Eis Mosach Yehuda, the shelter of Yehuda, which was the Beis HaMikdash, has been uncovered, it has been revealed, it is exposed, and it's not going to be for them a source of hope or benefit or protection. And instead, when they realize that they are in trouble, instead of looking to Hashem Vatabeit Bayomahu El Neshek Beis Hayar, to the weapons that were stored in the Beis Hayar. This pasuk notes allude to a very famous medrash that when the enemy entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim and they saw the Kruvim, they were shocked. They did not understand the Kedusha, what the Kruvim represent. And they said, we thought that this nation, they serve Hashem. And what are the Kruvim? It's Avodah Zarah. It's the image of angels, made from gold, and this is what is in the Holy of Holies. The Jewish people, they worship idols. The Goyim did not understand the significance of the Kruvim, and they took the Kruvim, and they paraded the Kruvim in the streets to show the world, look, the Jewish people, they are idol worshippers. This is what we found in their Holy of Holies, the Kruvim. So here, that's what the pasuk means, Vayigal is Mosach Yehuda. The Kruvim is inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was sheltered originally by a curtain. Later, the Bayis Rishon was sheltered in an actual room. But it was something which was their Kedusha, which was only understood by Klal Yisrael. This was now revealed, and it served as a great Chilul Hashem for the Jewish people among the nations. Okay, Pasuk Tes. The Ace Bikie Ir David Isem Ki Rabu, the cracks in the wall of the city of David you have seen, Vatekabitsu Esme Habrecha Tachtona, and you collected the waters of the lower pool. Now this means that at this point in time, when they saw that the enemy was near, they said, let us strengthen the walls. And they surveyed their defense system, and they realized there are cracks in the wall. The walls are weak. And they decide, instead of davening to Hashem, spending their time looking into themselves and doing tshuva, they spent all their time fortifying the defense system. And that they started with the walls. And if you want to fortify the wall, they have to close the breaches. So they need water to make cement. So again, they looked at the cracks in the Ir David, the city of David, Re'isem, Ki Rabu, there were many cracks. Vatekabetsu, so the first thing they did was we need a lot of water, because we have to make a lot of cement, a lot of clay. So the first thing that they gathered, Esmei HaBrecha, the water of the Brecha Tachton, the lower pool, there was water in this lower pool, which they collected in preparation to make a lot of cement. And they need stones. Where are they going to get stones from, especially if there's a siege around the city? So they demolished homes. There were many homes along the city, and they taxed. Everyone has to give a part of their home. We have to demolish your home so we can take the stones and we can use the stones to fortify the wall. You counted the homes of Yerushalayim and you issued a tax. Everyone that has a home has to give a certain number of bricks. Vatistzu habotim, and you demolished the homes, levatzer hachama, to strengthen, to fortify the wall, together with the water and the stones. You were able to, you made clay and you put the stones, you fortify the walls. Mefarshim, the Midrashim explain why over here suddenly referring to the Yerushalayim with the term Ir David. So many terms for Yerushalayim. The Geichi Zion, it's the island, it's Tzion, Yerushalayim. Here suddenly it appears the expression Ir David, in connection with the word Bikiei. So the Mepharshim answer, I think Rav David Kohn explains in more detail, that the Gemara refers to David HaMelech. One of the milas of David HaMelech is that he made it easy for people to come to be Oyle L'Ragel. Originally, Yerushalayim was surrounded by a thick wall, and there were very few entry points to Yerushalayim. And when the Klal Yisrael would come on Yerushalayim, HaMoinan, there would be long lines to get into Yerushalayim, because there are only a few entrances and from only certain points at the city, and you would have to walk around large hills and mountains to enter into Yerushalayim. So David, people did not want to come back in the following years. They felt that it was too difficult, the trip was too difficult to walk around the entire city and wait in line to get into Yerushalayim. So David HaMelech, he breached the wall. He made more openings along the wall so that it would be easy for the Oilei Regolim to enter Yerushalayim.
That's why we have gates.
What?
That's basically may have been the forerunner of the gates of Yerushalayim. We have gates
right
into gates are
of course, right. But those walls from even past the Bayis Sheni, and those are walls in from Golis. But the original walls of we don't have any more the original walls of Bayis Rishon. Those are long gone. But it was at one point in time there was a wall, and the wall only had a few entry points. David made it easy for the people to come by demolishing parts of the wall to make it easy for the people to come inside. Now at this point in time, because all of those entry points, they closed up. They demolished homes, they took the stones and they closed up. But it wasn't just a security measure. It represented their lack of faith. Here, these entry points reminded them that there was a time where the Klal Yisrael, they took pleasure. It was immense something to them to come on the Sholosh Regalim to the Beis HaMikdash. And now, when they find themselves in an Eis Tzara, instead of looking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they totally want to distance themselves from anything religious. And the first thing to go is we're going to close up these entry points. We don't even want to have a zecher that at one point in time we were a religious country where people would come to the Beis HaMikdash, where it was easy. We don't want people to come to the Beis HaMikdash. If they felt that if we were more secular, we would be in a better situation. We would not find ourselves in this difficult situation, which is of course just the opposite. I know there was a certain business. They were doing very, very well. And they were doing so well, the owner of the business there should be a kollel in the company. Kollel learning every single day. And during lunchtime, the people in the religious people should go learn, should have an opportunity. There's a shir. And besides there being a shir for the people who work there, there should be people learning there all the time. There should be a kollel in the business. When the economy took a turn for the worse, what do you think the first thing to go?
They went the kollel.
That was the first thing to go. So it's the same idea. Here, they were threatened. They were threatened. The first thing they decided was the Bikei Ir David, which was symbolic of something spiritual. People came to Yerushalayim. We offered discounts. Anyone who wants to come to Yerushalayim gets a free ticket. State-sponsored tickets to come to Yerushalayim for the Sholosh Regalim. The city is open. Hotels are free. The state will take care of it. That's called the Bikei Ir David. The openings. Let people come. No, no, no. We're now at an ace tsara. We need every penny we can get for our defense forces to create satellites and weapons. That's the first thing to go. The Bikei Ir David Re'isem Ki Rabu. There were a lot of breaches, and now they proceeded with the Kapsu Esmei Habricha Tachtoin Le'Vespotim Shlaim Sefartim Vatitisu Habotim Levatzer Achaymo. That was the first thing to go. Those breaches had to be closed. We have to defend ourselves and not focus on these breaches. Okay, then soon go on more. We'll leave it over here. Up the pasuk Yud Aleph. If soon we want to describe more detail what took place at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon.